Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe-on-Acton, a welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. My name is Katie Weeks, and I serve as the Vice President of your Board of Trustees. Everyone is invited to coffee hour and fellowship hall after the service. To get there, please exit the church through the door to my left, follow the hallway to the end, and go down the stairs or take the elevator, and follow the arrow to Fellowship Hall. Child care is available during this service in the nursery. If the need arises any time during the service, please feel free to take your child there where they will be well cared for. The nursery is located in the lower level of our Fellowship Hall, which you get to the same way as the Fellowship Hall, but down one more level. If you're not sure where to go, one of the ushers will guide you. On most Sundays, we have religious education classes that children will depart after the first part of the service. Please see the order of service for more information about our RE program. If this is your first time with us, we're happy to have you here. Please sign one of our guest books, which are located in the vestibule, at the front entrance of the church, or at the visitor's table at coffee hour in Fellowship Hall, so we can put you on our mailing list and our newsletter and announcements. Thank you for your attention, and at this point, we invite you to put your cell phones on worship mode.
There will be several things to do in this service today. You'll be invited to place a photo or memento on our altar of remembrance. You have a piece of paper in your order of service that you are invited to write a name of someone you wish to be remembered on each side of that sheet. Those will be used again in the spring. And you're invited to write a name or a phrase of remembrance on a rock and place it on our altar. While we have specific times set aside for you to do each of these, and there are also periods of music in several places in the service, and it's okay to do things out of order because we are Unitarian Universalists. So at any point in the service when there's music going on, if you feel moved, you can bring forward one of those items. Today is a very special day in this community because we are welcoming back to our congregation our Minister Emeritus, the Reverend Tom Rossiello. When a minister retires or otherwise leaves a congregation, it's customary for them to depart and not attend for the interim period to provide space for transition and change to occur. Since that period is over, it's appropriate for Tom to now begin re-entering the congregation and be here a bit more with us. And while he now lives a very long way away, we'll be able to see him a few times per year, hopefully. So I'm delighted to be sharing the pulpit today with Reverend Tom. It's been fun to work with him, and I've been looking forward today with a lot of excitement. So, Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, and it's really wonderful to be back with all of you. It's good to see you all. You still sit in the same places.
I am not surprised at this. I've already begun describing you by, like, the person who sits five rows back on the side. Or now you're counting to see who I'm talking about. It's Jack, yep. So now let us all turn and greet one another and welcome our neighbors into this space. Our words to call us to worship this morning are by Andrea Hawkins Camper. Gather we now into this space, this time when the wheel turns and the veil shatters. Gather we now to remember, to grieve, to prophesy, to complete our harvest before the long dark comes. Gather we now to tell the old stories and sing the old songs, to be as we have always been, the voice of our people eternal. Gather we now to celebrate that which was, that which is, and that which will be. Gather we now, as we have always done, united by story and bound by love. I now invite Tom to light our chalice as I share these words. We light our chalice today in honor of our ancestors. They tended this flame, kept it alive in times of struggle. They created it as a beacon for the seeker, a light for those in darkness. As the wheel turns to this dark time of the year, as our nights grow longer, we light this chalice in their honor, and we commit to the tending of that flame for those who will follow us. Please rise in body or in spirit and join in our opening hymn, number 52, The Sweet Fields of Autumn. Please join in our covenant and affirmation. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
Please be seated. As we've done on this day for many years in this congregation, this practice of creating an altar of remembrance is one which is dear to us. In Mexico, they're called ofrendas, and they're in every house and shop and street corner where both family members and famous people are remembered. By doing so today, we bring our loved ones here with us to this service. We bring them in our hearts. So I invite you now to bring forward any photos that you may not have put up here yet, or the yellow leaves filled out, a leaf on one side, a daffodil on the other, to add to our altar of remembrance any of those people you would like for us all to remember today. There's a reason for that.
I forget what it was.
My props are over here.
Right, the props. That's why I forgot it. It's props. So, kids, you remember who this is? Can you tell me who this is? Anyone?
They all forgot.
You weren't paying attention during my welcome. This is Reverend Tom, and he has a special title now. He used to be the minister of this church, but now he has a special title. Does anyone remember what that is? Minister Emeritus, that's correct. And what does that mean? Yes, part of what it means is he's been gone. He used to be the minister here, and he was here almost every Sunday, and now he's gone almost every Sunday, but he's now back occasionally, for which we don't pay him anymore.
You don't?
No. So Minister Emeritus is a very special title. You only give that vote by a congregational vote, which you held as he was departing, and you only give it to a minister who has been a really good minister and who has served long and faithfully. And actually, I'm a Minister Emeritus too, or we call it Minister Emerita when it's a female, for the congregation I left back in Michigan. But I'm not your Minister Emeritus. Tom is. He gets a few perks with this role. Anybody guess what they are? A parking spot? No, I don't have a parking spot either.
You can use mine.
Thanks. We can put his name, or he can have us put his name on our website, which we've done, or on other official documents. We get to list him, and he's listed. He also gets to vote at the UUA's General Assembly on your behalf. Your minister gets a vote, your religious educator gets a vote, your Minister Emeritus gets a vote at every GA. Are you going to GA this year, Tom?
I'm not sure yet.
Possibly. All right. But maybe the year
after. The following year, I'll definitely be there.
The following year, it's in Providence. So he'll be there, and hopefully a lot of you will be there, too, and see him then. But he's not here as often as we'd like because he lives pretty far away. Where do you live now, Tom?
I live in San Miguel Allende, Mexico, in the state of Guanajuato.
And it's a pretty... can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. It's a beautiful colonial town, buildings dating back to Baroque architecture, 1500 some of them. It's been twice in a row voted as the best city in the world to live in by Travel and Leisure magazine. It's beautiful, beautiful colors, beautiful weather, no cold, no weather. That's the best part. Lots of culture. It's a lovely place. And there is a UU congregation, by the way.
You've been preaching there a bit.
Some.
Yes.
Some, yes.
So there's a pretty important holiday coming up.
This week is one of the biggest holidays in Mexico. It's a public holiday. It's not just a religious holiday. All week in schools, the kids will be working on this. When I left, the preparations were underway for it. And it's called the El Día de los Muertos, or some places they leave out the los, so it's El Día de Muertos. It's the Day of the Dead. And it's a wonderful holiday, which they create ofrendas very much like this in their homes, in their schools, in their shops, in the street corner, everywhere you can possibly do it and remember lots of people. So, anyway, would you like me to tell them a little bit more about it? Okay. Let's take a poll. How many have seen the movie Coco? Yay! It's one of my very, very favorite movies. And the holiday that's depicted in Coco is El Día de los Muertos, right? Okay? So, that is a very special day in Mexico. Now, if you've seen Coco, can you remember some of the characters? Of course, there's Miguel, the young guy who wants to play the guitar, right? And do you remember any of the other characters? Oh, come on. Huh? The grandma, Coco. Coco is the abuela, right? Yeah. How about Miguel's friend who travels with him through the land of the dead? Do you remember who that is?
Hector.
Hector, yes, Hector. And what is Hector? He's a calaca. Do you know what a calaca is? He's a skeleton, yes. And, you know, I'm going to show you a couple of pictures. In Mexico, their skeletons are not like our skeletons. Our skeletons for Halloween are kind of scary. And what do you notice difference about theirs? Here's a calaca. What's different about him? He wears clothes. That's different. What else? Músico. He's a musician, right? See, and look at this one, if you can see it. There's a whole orchestra there. of them. And also, there are beautiful women Kalakas, and they're usually called Katrinas. See them? Dressed in beautiful, fine clothes. So it's a different kind of thing. And on this day, there's great celebrations all week. There are fiestas and parties, including right at the cemetery where everybody goes and has a party with music, just like in the movie Coco. Do you remember? Remember the parties in the cemetery? And the reason being that it's a day when we remember the people who've died, the people for us. And one of the things that Coco teaches us is that when you remember someone, you hold them inside yourself. And in a sense, they don't really die because they're remembered. Isn't that the message of the movie, Coco? Yeah. And Mike is going to be so kind to sing Recuérdame. Do you know what that means? Remember me. And that's from the movie Coco.
Remember me, though I have to say goodbye, remember me. Don't let it make you cry, for even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me. Remember me, though I have to say goodbye, remember me. And don't let it make you cry, for even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart, remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember.
Thank you, Mike. We've placed items on our altar, and now I invite you to simply call out, no microphone needed, call out the name of a loved one or an ancestor or a person who has passed whom you wish to honor and have remembered here today. If you speak the name at the same time as someone else, that's okay, and you can say the name a second time if you feel it wasn't heard. As you do this, Mike is going to light a series of candles up here to represent all those named and unnamed. I want to begin by saying that we remember the 11 lives lost at the Tree of Life Synagogue yesterday and name them. Daniel Stein, Joyce Feinberg, Richard Gottfried, Rose Malinger, Jerry Rabinowitz, Cecil Rosenthal, David Rosenthal, Bernice Simon, Sylvan Simon, Melvin Wax, and Irving Younger. We remember them. We remember them with love. We honor them today. I'm going to have us switch a couple elements here because I want to say some words in prayer that respond to recent events. So we're going to ask our children and youth and teachers to depart at this point for religious education time, and they carry with them the spark from our chalice. Michelle, would you introduce our lantern bearers? These words of prayer or meditation are by Allison Miller, the Unitarian Universalist Minister of Jewish Heritage. They were written yesterday. We pray for the three Jewish congregations who meet at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We hold those taken too soon in our prayers, 11 people. May their legacies of love and the lessons present in the way they lived bless their children, their spouses, and all the people who loved and cherished them. We also hold the wounded and the living members of Tree of Life in our heart's embrace. May they be surrounded by the healing power of community, prayer, care, and justice. We hold their wider circle of family and friends who live close by or further away, who are wrestling with the fear and wondering of just how great a personal loss awaits as the details were released. We hold all those for whom this terrible act cuts too close to the bone, all who feel and know that their lives and livelihoods, their homes and houses of worship are threatened by the rising normalcy of words and deeds perpetuated in the name of bigotry, hatred, fear, and isolationism. As the light of day faded yesterday, there were other times emblazoned in memory when love's sanctuaries were pierced by weaponized hate. On November 5th, 2017, 26 people were killed, 20 wounded at the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas. On September 24th, 2017, one person was killed and 7 injured at the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. On January 29th, 2017, 6 people were killed and 19 injured at the Islamic Cultural Center of Quebec City, Canada. On June 17th, 2015, 9 people were killed and 1 injured at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. On April 13th, 2014, 3 people were killed at the Overland Park Jewish Community Center and Village Shalom Retirement Center in Overland Park, Kansas. On August 5th, 2012, 6 people were killed and 4 injured at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in Oak Creek. On July 27th, 2008, 2 people were killed and 7 injured at the Tennessee Valley UU Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. We hold all the lives lost and count their legacies, what was and what never had time to be. We hold the wounded and the living survivors, and we continue to pray for the well-being of these religious communities. We remember that in addition to this list of mass shootings in the U.S. and Canada, over the last decade, there have been over 50 massacres in houses of worship around the globe in these past 3 decades. Finally, we pray for the youngest life in the sanctuary yesterday morning, the one who is being named before God, his family, and his circle of community. For you, little one, and not for you alone, we vow to do what we can to remember how your blessing was interrupted. We will not normalize it or grow accustomed to it. We will be changed by it, just as other acts of gun violence in the name of nationalism, white supremacy, the fear of them or the other has changed us before. Each time love's sanctuaries are pierced by weaponized hate, we grow stronger in our resolve to strategically eradicate oppression and the roots of oppression and to limit access to guns. We will remember this day. We will count the lives affected and lost. We will grieve. We will heal. We will embody the lessons of this day from each Shabbat to the next, growing in our ability to make a difference. Amen. Blessed be, and may it be so.
First, let me just say again that it is great to be back with you, and it's so wonderful to see all your faces and reconnect with all of you, and especially on this particular Sunday. The truth is that All Souls Day, a day of remembrance of those who've gone before us, has always been an important day for me personally, and I think it's an important day in the life of this parish. Here in this room, especially on this day, I feel close to all those whose memorial services were held here during my time as minister, and even before my time. This room is just full of memories of those who were part of this beloved community. As many of you know, this year has brought many changes in my life, and the most significant among them was the passing of my mom. I want to thank the many people from this church who came to the calling hours of the funeral, and to the many, many more who sent cards and notes of sympathy and support. My mom had an aggressive form of cancer for which, at age 90, she chose not to seek aggressive treatment. So we had several months to prepare ourselves for her passing. During that time, I would often think of how my mom's passing would affect Nicole. Some of you remember Nicole, my 11-year-old niece with Down syndrome, who was very, very close to my mom. Last December, I took Nicole to see the movie Coco. In part, I thought it was a way to prepare her for her visit to Mexico, which in fact took place last July, and it did that. And as an animal lover, she was drawn to those beautiful colored alebrijes, the colorfully painted animals which are said to have spiritual power, especially those of the Mexican hairless dog like Dante in the movie. And I gave her one that looked something like Dante for Christmas. But it was not just the colorful animals in the movie that captured Nicole's interest. It was the very important message of the movie, a message that was captured in the song that Mike sang so lovely just a few minutes ago, Recuérdame, Remember Me. The day after my mother passed away, Nicole asked me if I was sad. And I said yes. And then she said, do you know where your mother is now? And before I could formulate an age-appropriate answer, she put her hand on her heart and she said, right here. You know, she said, like Coco, as long as you remember somebody, they don't die. They live in your heart. Well, there you are, the 11-year-old child with Down syndrome preaching to the preacher. It was exactly what I needed to hear. It, in fact, was a ministry to me, and it relieved me of my worry about how Nicole was, in fact, going to deal with the death of someone with whom she was extremely close. During our years together, at memorial services and in notes of sympathy, I almost always quoted the words of John of Christendom. She or he whom we love and lose is no longer where they were before. They are now wherever we are. This message from the lips of a 7th century bishop of Constantinople, or the one from the movie Coco as interpreted by an 11-year-old girl with Down syndrome, are essentially the same message. Our loved ones live on in us. Well, as I mentioned in the message for all ages, next Friday is El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. Actually, in Mexico, it's Thursday and Friday because on Thursday is the day where they honor children who've died, and on Friday is adults. And when I left Mexico a few days ago, preparations were well underway with marigolds appearing everywhere and those smiling images of skeletons dressed up in all their finery, playing instruments or dancing. They were for sale in every shop and on street corners. Not like our Halloween skeletons. They're well-dressed. They're depicted doing the things that they love doing in life, cooking, being a barber, dancing, playing musical instruments. Those calacas are not intended to be scary in any way, but rather to suggest that even in death, we continue to be who we are and not some undefined soul. We continue to enjoy what we enjoyed in life. This week, all over Mexico, there are parades and fiestas. Families will go to the cemetery, but not for a few minutes of quiet and respectful prayer or thought at the grave of a loved one, as one might do in this country on All Souls Day or Memorial Day. No, they go for the whole day, and they bring a wonderful picnic feast and musical instruments, and they'll have a party at the grave with the deceased loved one. It's not a day of sadness, but a day of happiness and renewed relationships. For them, the dead live on not in some distant place of their Catholic theology, but on this day especially, they're right in the village with their families. And they don't just engage with them in the cemetery. Homes, almost every home, has a beautiful ofrenda just like this altar of remembrance. In addition to the photos that we have here, there'll be sugar skulls and with the names of the deceased on them, food, candles, mementos, lots of flowers, especially marigolds. And the family will all gather. And often they'll make the deceased's favorite meal. The dead will take part in the conversation, if you will, and in the festivities of the day. And it's a happy day when everyone is, in spirit, together again. Now, I don't want to suggest to you that Mexicans do not mourn their dead. Of course, they experience the loss of a loved one just as we do. They do their share of weeping, but somehow they come to a place where they don't so much think of them as dead, but as just gone before, and even still among them. Speaking about El Día de los Muertos, Margaret Atwood wrote, "In Mexico, they do this festival the right way. Bright candy skulls, family picnics on graves, a plate set for each individual guest, a candle for the soul. Everyone goes away happy, including the dead. But we have rejected this easy flow between dimensions. We want our dead unmentionable. We refuse to feed them. Our dead, as a result, are thinner, grayer, harder to hear, and hungrier. When we keep our dead close, when we continue to connect to them rather than shut them out, when we remember how they lived and what they taught, we maintain a rich relationship with them. We live on when our words or our deeds, our love or our caring is remembered. As many of you know, my mom was a devoted nurse and spent her life caring for others. And after a full career at a local hospital, she worked tirelessly at a free medical clinic from the age of 65 to 87. It was a place where student nurses and intern doctors, aspiring high school and college students, perhaps interested in medicine, or retirees with just time on their hands, would come and volunteer and often work with her. At the calling hours and at the funeral services, many doctors and many nurses came up to me and spoke to me, and several said, "It was your mom who inspired me to become a doctor or a nurse or to give my time to the poor." And they said, "We will carry on her work." So in a sense, just as my niece Nicole does in her way, these professionals in their way keep my mom alive. Now I know you have deceased loved ones whom you have brought with you to this service today. Parents, spouses, children, grandchildren, mentors, people with whom you did and still do have a special relationship because you carry them in your heart. Perhaps you may remember them every day or almost every day, but on this day, we all remember them. What a wonderful thing we do in keeping them alive. I hope we're all around for a long time to come. But you know, this day is also a good day, not just to remember those whom we hold in our hearts fondly, but also maybe to think about how we might be remembered on some day of the dead way in the future. When we're gone, our lives will still be speaking. If we are parents or grandparents who spent valuable time with children, we will live on in them. If we are teachers, we'll live on in our students. If we're musicians, we'll live on in our music. Artists and crafters in their creation. A scientist in her discoveries. A counselor in the good advice given. A good cook in the recipes he passed on. We may live on elsewhere in worlds beyond our knowing, but for sure we will live on here in the lives that we touched, just as those who've gone before live on in our lives this day. So on this Day of the Dead, as we remember those now deceased who have touched our lives, let us also give a little thought to the way we live our lives and how we inspire, love, and create memories that will live on in others after we're gone. Feliz Dia de los Muertos. I invite you now, as you're able, to rise and join in song, hymn 96, I Cannot Think of Them as Dead.
Different holidays and different cultural expressions of those holidays overlap at this time of year: All Saints Day, All Souls Day, Halloween, the Days of the Dead. These are different Christian expressions and different cultural ways of expressing the same holiday and are related to the pagan holiday of Samhain, which is the holiday that they were all superimposed upon. So they're all connected in a sense. I wanted to talk about All Souls Day because while the Dia de los Muertos is a beautiful custom and it's wonderful to learn about it, as an Anglo-American with very little Latino heritage, the holiday that's most authentic for me to celebrate is All Souls Day. Now, in certain Christian contexts, All Souls Day means the day on which we remember and celebrate all the Christian souls, all the baptized souls who have passed on. But as Unitarian Universalists, and particularly from our Universalist heritage, we believe that there is no hell, and that each and every person is sacred and has inherent worth and dignity. Each and every one. So All Souls Day means a different thing in a Unitarian Universalist context, and that's worth exploring. It's interesting to me to note that All Souls is a common name for Unitarian Universalist churches. If you're not aware of them, there are All Souls UU churches in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in New York, New York, in Indianapolis, in Washington, D.C., and there's one up in Braintree, or over in Braintree, wherever that is from here, Braintree, south in Braintree. All told, around 22 UU churches are named All Souls. That's only about half as many as have the word parish, and a lot fewer than have the word first, but it's still significant. It's a theological statement those churches are making in their names. The theological statement is that we welcome all souls, that all souls are beloved of God, if you believe in God. It's a statement about inherent worth and dignity, a statement about universal salvation. So in a Unitarian Universalist church, when we celebrate All Souls Day, we celebrate All Souls Day, all of them. And for many of us, that includes not just humans, but all sorts of people, including our animal peoples and maybe extraterrestrial peoples, like anything that has consciousness, that has feeling, that is a person to you. We celebrate that on All Souls Day. This is by far, even just dealing with humankind, it's by far the hardest thing that we do, I think. Universalism asks of us the hardest task of our faith, to believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It is the Hitler test. Yes, even Hitler. It's the shooter test after a mass murder. Yes, even the shooter. To believe that everyone is worthy of saving, that everyone can be saved, and if you believe in heaven, to believe that everyone can go there. When we think of our ancestors, we like to hold up the exalted ones. But for me, I have to remember that my personal ancestors weren't just revolutionaries and abolitionists, if indeed they were those things at all. I also have in my personal history slave owners. That's my ancestry too. And as Unitarian Universalists, we like to hold up Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony and Emerson and Thoreau as our Unitarian ancestors. But then there's the fact that Lizzie Borden was a Unitarian too. Do you remember the first time you learned about the Holocaust? Do you remember the first time when you were little that you learned about slavery? Or about the Trail of Tears? I remember learning about the Trail of Tears. I did a fifth grade report. Do you remember the first time that you understood deep in your bones humanity's inhumanity to humankind? Do you remember the moment that you realized that we are inheritors of all of that, good and bad alike? That's what we mean when we say in Universalism, all souls, when we say, or when the Lakota say, all my relations, when we talk about All Souls Day, we mean we won't turn away from the hard facts. We won't forget the bad and the ugly along with the good. And what makes that sorrow, that hardness, that harsh reality of humanity possible to bear is lifting up all the wonderful stories too. The great Germans who made amazing art and things of beauty and who were some of our greatest philosophers and theologians. And the slave owners who, like Thomas Jefferson, shaped the founding of our country and gave us the loftiest of ideals, even while they sometimes failed to live up to them themselves. They gave us a promise and a hope for a better future. Similarly, our spiritual ancestors, William Ellery Channing, Theodore Parker, Ralph Waldo Emerson, they all did good and wonderful and beautiful things. And we hold those up even while knowing that they also said things that were racist and sexist and horribly classist. And both of those parts, the good and the bad, both of those shape us as individuals, and they shape us as a faith, just as I am shaped by my Landrum ancestors and my Weddell ancestors who fought on both sides of the Civil War. When we celebrate All Souls Day, I think it is a statement about our connection to our ancestors particularly, but also a connection, a celebration of our connection to all those in the world. I personally believe that my ancestors are a part of who I am and that I am connected to them. When I look at my family traditions, I see the legacy of slavery and how it still bears fruit today. When I look at this church, for example, I think of our religious ancestors, our forefathers and foremothers and genderqueer ancestors of this faith, and how they built this church, and how we continue to benefit tangibly and intangibly from that legacy. I'm sure some of them were good, and some of them were bad, and most of them, maybe all of them, were both. All Souls Day is about the fullness of humanity. It's about honoring our ancestors, good and bad. It's about mourning and recognizing and celebrating death, too, at this time of life, at this time of year when the nights are longer and the veil between the living and the dead seems to thin. It's about connecting back to the ancient pagan festivals of Samhain and recognizing that, as Tom pointed out, in our culture, we like to avoid paying attention to death and that we need to do so. So as the leaves fall, as the wheel of the year turns, it is good that we take this time together. We honor our dead. We remember our loved ones. We celebrate All Souls. Maybe so. This is a community of memory and of promise, a place where we lovingly tend the flame that was lit by our ancestors and remember their courage and wisdom as we build a new path into the future, so that our heritage may be protected and our dreams may be realized. We will now have the morning offering.
I am not there.
As the many people of Jewish heritage in this congregation might tell you, it's a custom in some Jewish communities to place stones on the grave of an ancestor. It's a sign that you've visited, that you've remembered them, a sign of respect. Some of you may have seen pictures of all the stones on Susan B. Anthony's grave after elections. This is part of why we felt it was appropriate this year, since we've completed our daffodil planting project, as it turns out, to use stones as a symbol of remembrance today. So we invite you, if you would like to honor someone in this way, to take a stone, write their name or a phrase that reminds you of someone you're honoring, and place it on our altar of remembrance. We're going to invite you at the end of the service to take that stone with you. You can place it on a grave, in your yard, on a home altar, on your bedside table. But if you don't have a place that you'd like to place it and you wish to leave it here instead, we're going to invite you to either just leave it on our altar and we'll collect them after the service and place them outside, or you can take it yourself and place it in the lower garden just above the lower parking lot down there. So at this time, I invite you to come forward as you wish. Please stand in body or in spirit and join in our closing hymn, number 103, For All the Saints. Stones and items of remembrance to the memory of our loved ones. In our times of grief and sorrow, may our minds be at ease, may our hearts be filled with love as we remember their legacies for us. Amen.
And may the love which is stronger than death overcome all differences, heal all wounds, put to flight all fears, reconcile those who are separated, and be in us and among us, now and forevermore. Amen.